Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Kyle sent me a story out of Australia about personalized plates. And it's an interesting one because, you know, you get license plates for your car. And the license plates, if you just get the ones from the state or whoever issues it, have random numerals and letters on them. And, you know, it's a unique identifier for your car. And years ago, they decided, hey, you know something? If people could come up with something that they could fit on the plate and we could charge them for it, we could make some more money. So vanity plates became a thing. And over the years, you know, there have been a lot of funny stories about vanity plates because the question is, what can you squeeze into, say, 7 characters on a license plate? And so some of you will know that I have a personalized plate on my Viper, and there's an extra I have, and that is the Finnish word for snake, because my car is a Viper. And obviously somebody in Michigan already had the plate Viper. So it's a joke that 3 people will get, at least on the road. But, you know, what are you going to do? But there's another problem, though, because occasionally people will try to slide through license plates that are obscene or dirty or political or religious. And the question is, are those things appropriate for license plates? And every state in America has this issue to deal with because people will apply for a plate. And the question is, number one, what does the plate mean? Number two, will the plate offend anybody? Number three, does it matter? So I can tell you that when you order a plate from Michigan and they ask you on the form, what does this mean? So if you ask for something, they go, what does it mean? And you have to explain it. So when I filled out K-A-A-R-M-E, I wrote, it's the Finnish word for snake. My car is a Viper. You know, and I hope they believe me. So I've seen some plates that shouldn't have gotten through because they're political. But this one's out of Australia. news.com.au, and it's funny because a Sydney barrister is in a fight over his Lamborghini's offensive number plate, his license plate. A top Sydney barrister has gotten into a legal battle with Transport NSW over the cheeky number plates on his yellow Lamborghini. So the guy's got a Lamborghini. He's apparently a well-known barrister. And here's the thing. I sat there and looked at the plate for long enough to go, I would not understand what that meant. I literally have to have someone explain it to me because it's not obvious. And the offensive number plate on his bright yellow Lamborghini reads, and these are the letters, L-G-O-P-N-R. L-G-O-P-N-R. And I looked at that for a while and thought, because one thing you do is, you know, you try sticking in vowels, you know, and what's confusing is it is missing a vowel at the beginning, but then he stuck a vowel there with the O, and So Peter Levac said most people would never connect the dots and realize that his number plate was cheekily saying leg opener. And one of the questions that you always have when you see a license plate on a car that's personalized, is it a reference to the driver or a reference to the car itself? Now, my plate, Snake, obviously is a reference to the car. I've had several people say, but Steve, you're also an attorney. Aren't attorneys snakes? Well, yeah, that's a secondary meaning. There are personalized plates that clearly reference the driver. There's personalized plates that clearly reference the car. And then the question is, Leg opener. So someone apparently did connect those dots and complained to Transport NSW, which I'm guessing is New South Wales, was calling for the plates to be removed. So they called him up after he got the plates and said, we've decided to recall your plates. To which he told him, tough, and I can't say the word. It's a 4-letter word, starts with S, ends with T, and has high in the middle. And that's what he told the Sunday Telegraph. And of course, this is a guy who apparently can be a shark in court. So Transport NSW gave him 18 days to change the plate, and they wrote him a letter and said, Transport for NSW determined these number plates could be considered offensive and must be returned. Could be considered offensive. So Mr. Levac fought for his right to keep the number plate, and he challenged the letter in his local court. He argued it was a free speech issue. He said, I resent anyone who's trying to violate my freedom of speech and expression. They, the plates, are meant to be humorous, tongue-in-cheek, funny, and entertaining. That is how most people find them when it's explained to them. But how could you possibly construe recreational activities between two consenting adults as ever being offensive or demeaning in any way, shape, or form? And I would take it one step further and say, how do you know that this isn't talking about recreational activities between married people? It doesn't say LGOPNR with a woman I just met. It's not what it says. See, people's minds often go to places beyond where they have a right to go. He said, how many other little Aussie battlers who have similar bullying letters have caved in and laid down and let Transport NSW walk all over them because they didn't have my resources or legal expertise to stand up to this and challenge them? So he's doing this for the little guy. In the end, Transport NSW backed down, which Mr. Levesque believed was because they used an outdated section of the law. So he's even saying, hey, if they'd done this differently, they might have won. But the deputy secretary of Transport NSW said that the department relies a lot on members of the public to report offensive plates, as many controversial number plates slip through the vetting process. If a member of the public finds a plate offensive, they can report it to Transport for NSW, which will investigate, and the plate may then be recalled. And so that's true, like I said, in America as well. We've all heard the funny stories about plates that slipped through, plates that got caught. I remember reading in People magazine probably 30 years ago an article about all the plates that have been recalled, and I forgot what, maybe California or something. But that's become a now more common thing that they do from time to time, is one of those human interest stories. Look at all these goofy plates. And some of them are very, very clever. Some of them are, you know, makes you wonder. I remember driving along the freeway in California and seeing a convertible car go by that had the plate, I believe it was S-K-I-T-P-L-S, which I'm guessing was ski topless. And I'm sure if you asked her, the driver of the car, she meant, oh, because the top comes down in the car. See? And that's the thing. It's, you know, what do you do if there is a perfectly legitimate explanation as well as one that's racy? Okay. And so I can tell you a funny story. It goes way, way back. But I grew up in a town called Birmingham, Michigan. And I've mentioned that before. Birmingham, Michigan is a suburb of Detroit. It's north of Detroit, maybe 10, 15 miles. And it's a nice little community. And so downtown is a little shopping district. And there was a bunch of clothing stores there that were not chain stores, independently owned clothing stores. And they catered to the wealthier folk in the area. And there were a couple stores that specialized in selling clothing to the local women who had a lot of money, rich people. And one or two of them actually had the big window displays, and they had people whose job it was to put together the window displays. And when I went to law school, my law school is next door to Bullocks and Wilshire. And they had, at that time in 1989, 1991, they had people who did the window displays, these beautiful window displays. It was unbelievable. And that's a lost art because these stores don't exist for the most part anymore in most towns. But in Birmingham, there's a couple stores that actually had these window displays and people whose job it was to do the window displays. And so one of the people who did the windows put together a display one time, and there was three or four windows that were disconnected by concrete or brick pillars. So it's a window, brick pillar, window, brick pillar. And she often tried to do something to tie the windows together so that it wouldn't be one window, two windows, three, like four different displays. And so she'd try to get a theme that would run through all four of them. And on one occasion, and I believe it was a summer collection of clothing, there was a bunch of stuff about being at the beach and nautical wear. And to tie it all together, she took rope, and literally took brand new rope straight from a local hardware store and draped it over the people from one window to the other window, three or four strands of rope, just laying it across the people. So there's a mannequin doing this, or a mannequin doing that, and she'd run the rope through the fingers, over to the next person. And they got a phone call one day from a woman who said, "I was walking by your store the other day, and I was disturbed at the fact that your display shows people in bondage. And when my child asked me why there was rope draped over those people, I had to explain to him what bondage was." And she complained to the store, and the store went and looked and said, "These people aren't tied up. It is literally just rope draped over people." And when the passerby didn't get a reaction from the store, contacted the local newspaper. And the newspaper wrote a story about it and showed photographs of what the models looked like with the rope draped over their hands. It wasn't a bondage display. It's the dumbest thing ever. And yet, when a little kid asks his or her mom, "What's with the rope?" Mom should have said, "Oh, it's decorative. It's just something that they use so that you'll realize that this display is connected to this display." But the mom's mind went to the wrong place. And then she's explaining to her kid something stupid. And you realize it's not the display. It's not the rope. It's the mom who's got the problem. And not only did she call the store manager and say, "I had to explain to my little kid what this was," she then called the newspaper and said, "Hey, I didn't understand it, and I had to explain to my little kid." And I think 98% of the people who saw the photographs, read the story, said, "Oh my gosh, that woman needs help. She needs help." Probably the same people who see LGOPNER and go, "Oh, it's horrible." I was looking at it going, "I don't get what that means. I don't get it." A little slow on the uptake, I admit it. So there you go. But great story out of Australia. But the good news is the barrister stood up for his rights to keep the offensive number plate on his bright yellow Lamborghini. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Never confuse a single defeat with a final defeat.